Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sideshow Garden Podcast.
It's another Friday afternoon, and you are tuned to another episode of the Sod Show. If you're on the road, if you're walking, if there's anything you hear on today's show and you might need to find out a little bit more, at Sod Show on Twitter, at facebook.com/TheSodShow, sodshow.com for all the show notes. And let's get our guest on the line. She is Cathy Rawlinson, and she is the chairman, or chairperson, depending on how you sit on that one, of the Hardy Plant Society. Cathy, how are you? You're very welcome to the Sod Show.
Thanks very much for inviting me. It's a real pleasure to speak to you today.
Cathy, before we get into it, what is the Hardy Plant Society?
Well, we were started in 1957. So those of you who are good at sums will work out that that means that we're 60 years old. And it's a thriving society. It was started by four leading nurserymen, some of whom listeners might actually remember. So John Sambrook, Will Ingerson, Arthur Hellyer and Alan Bloom. Alan Bloom, of course, who started up Blooms of Bressingham at Bressingham Gardens and introduced lots of plants named after members of his family. But they were concerned that a lot of good plants were no longer being grown. So they set up a society to promote the cultivation of hardy herbaceous perennials. And we've been going since then.
For those who are unaware, let's break this down if we can, Bobby Brown. Herbaceous perennials, what are they to, let's say, my older brother who doesn't know a Christmas tree from a bedding plant?
You need to train him and educate him. In fact, he should become a member of the Hardy Plant Society.
He should become a member of a lot of things, Cathy, but we'll assume that he can't even use a botanical abacus at this stage of the game, and we'll give him a brief definition.
Let's talk just a little bit about hardy perennial plants. They're the sort of plants which come back every year. You plant them, they grow through the summer months, they flower, they go to sleep during the winter, and then in spring they come back again. So there are lots of plants that everybody has in their garden, like Michaelmas daisies and phlox and all sorts of other different plants, thousands of different plants. So they're sort of favourites that everyone knows, but they're not woody plants, they're not trees. They are the ones that come back year after year and such good value.
For those of you who may be not aware, correct me if I'm wrong, Cathy, but the way in which you may, if you're leafing through a magazine, might recognise a bed of hardy perennials or herbaceous perennials is that there's a quintessentially English garden. It's got a big long green hedge, and there's a big long border running all the way down of flowering plants, mainly in the middle of summer. I have studied horticulture, Donegan Landscaping, and all of those shiny things and awards that I have parked to one side without making you feel a little bit non-horticultural. If you were leafing through that magazine, that is exactly what you'd see. And that I remember them, Cathy, from being a child growing up in 1980s Ireland. The beauty about them was once you bought one, they expanded. You divide them. A conversation I would have had with Rosemary Hardy. She has no relation directly to the Hardy Plant Society, I should add. It's just coincidental. Myself and Rosie would have spoke about lifting those plants up out of the ground, splitting them. You give a bit to your neighbour. He gives you a bit of his. And essentially, it's like an eternal, glorious sunshine of a bedding plant that never goes away. Is that a fair description?
I think that's absolutely fantastic. I think I'm going to engage you as our PR person because you've described it perfectly. The traditional herbaceous border is full of all of those lovely plants that we are trying to promote. Rosie Hardy is one of our excellent members who has a nursery with her husband, Rob. And they grow a fantastic range of hardy herbaceous plants. And I mean, one of the things that the HPS does, HPS is Hardy Plant Society, we have a lot of talks by people who know about hardy plants and other plants. And Rosie's one of our great speakers who comes along with usually plants in pots and shows us the actual plant rather than just showing us a picture of it, so you can see exactly what she's talking about, how well it grows, and she talks about where to put it in the garden and how to deal with it. and all the stuff about dividing them and passing on to friends is exactly what the Hardy Plant Society is about.
Let's get into another side of it then, because for those of you who are maybe thinking to yourself, Hardy Plant Society, 60 years on the go, have they ever gone out of fashion? Why is it there? What is their role? Well, let me give you a different example of what tends to happen in plants. We do have trends. If you go into it, you would have seen a lot of Corton steel at Chelsea. Prior to that, it would have been blues and silvers, etc., etc. And prior to, what you would have found is that, let's say, for example, heathers and conifers have and had gone a little bit by the wayside. It can happen with any range of plants, but that's just the way trends tend to change and go. It's only when you go back and listen to those conversations that we have with people like Sophie Le Guil of the Plant Heritage Society, when you start to hear that sometimes it's up to people like Cathy and those societies to keep that entire range of plants almost going. Maybe I'm overstating that, but at the same token, there are greater advantages to those who are within that, can I call it even a circle, within that club. And the byproduct, I guess, is that you manage to keep this range of beautiful plants on the go, and you almost keep them a little bit more in vogue than they would have maybe without you.
I think you've put your finger on it. The garden centres do a great job in providing plants, a wide range of plants, to the general public. But they like to sell plants which are in flower, because that's what people pick up off the shelves. And so quite often, some of the hardy herbaceous perennials that we're most interested in need to be planted earlier in the spring or when they're not in flower, if they're going to do as well as you'd like them to do. And so they don't look as good on the shelf when they're not in flower. And equally, a lot of new plants are introduced year after year. Every time you go to a show, there are new plants and they're bigger and better and brighter, or smaller flowers or larger flowers or whatever. And sometimes they're not quite as robust as some of the old favourites. And our old favourites are favourites for a reason. It's because they thrive and they are good, solid plants. So we try to keep those going. And it's really important to have this sort of conservation scheme, and Plant Heritage have this as their purpose. We also have a conservation scheme where we take plants which our members recommend as being good garden-worthy plants, which are not so widely available. So we grow them, we report on them so that we know how well they're doing in different parts of the country, and we share them amongst members. And sometimes we manage to get them back out into general cultivation through some of the specialist nurseries who focus on particular types of plants rather than a general garden centre.
Let's get into then the whole idea and concept of being a member of a plant or gardening society. Let's stick with the Hardy Plant Society in particular on this one. But I think you'll agree with me, Cathy, that there can be perceptions of what horticulture is. And again, and I'll back this up, and I apologise in advance for how I might word this, but bearing in mind that I'm a grown-up child still in my head and in my heart, who used to grow plants under his bed, who brought plants to school in my bag to see if phototropism would maybe take place at the top right hand corner of my satchel. It makes illogic sense now that I have qualifications in horticulture, but that's how my mind believed and maybe saw it, as sure as I can tell my young 7-year-old daughter that the man on the moon has extremely white legs and nobody can see him during the day, and so she waves up at the sky for no apparent reason. An element of grow, or that passion or that love, is required, I guess, in anything that I have ever put my mind to. And here's where I'm become the stumbling, bumbling Irishman about to ask a lady up to dance, and eventually I just turn around and give up and walk away and go to the bar because it's easier. The perception of plant societies, Cathy, can be a little bit Darjeeling old fuddy-duddy, grey-haired, smoking jacket. And I guess the question is, in brackets, Peter apologises again for how that's worded, but to play devil's advocate, how far off the mark is that? What have you seen? Have there been criticisms of how it's done? What is the current status, I guess?
Now, lots of questions in there, but let me just start by saying that the Hardy Plant Society is the largest specialist plant society in the UK, and we've got about 7,500 members.
Wow.
So quite a lot of people who think it's worthwhile being a member of the society. I think that all plant societies, and actually all sorts of societies of any kind, I mean the chess club, the photographic club, etc., are all having difficulty getting new members, and they've all got a little bit of this, everybody in them is old. None of us feels old. I think that's something that anybody will say, that we're all stuck at about 25, 27, something like that in our heads. And the people who come along to Hardy Plant Society events are so full of passion for plants. They love looking at plants, growing plants, talking about plants, dividing them up and sharing them with friends. And there's nothing better than being with people who are passionate about something. You walk around a garden with somebody. Now, you've said that we're possibly not embracing, all these societies are not embracing the wide range of different age groups and the like. And it is a problem. It's something that we all, when I get together with other plant society people, we all talk about it. How do we attract in different types of people? And part of it is about getting people in and getting them involved in making the decisions, because if you're outside, you can't actually influence what happens. We don't ask our members how old they are when they join or at any point. And I think we're all as old as we want to be. I know that a lot of people would say things like, if you love growing plants and you want to share that passion with like-minded people, and it's about learning. And so I don't think that necessarily age or a taste for Darjeeling comes into it. Taste for cake comes into it. We do quite a lot of cake eating on some of our garden visits. But say I'm wrong, and I'll argue again.
No. But, well, again, and I apologise again, et cetera, as Peter invariably always ends up doing for most of my adult and childlike life. But the perception is something that existed when I was growing up in plants. And I'm now, I know I don't look it, says you, at home, but I'm now 41 years of age. And when I was 6, when I was 25, when I went out on my own in business, age 24, the first question was, you know, is this your dad's business? When I did the design and build of 17th and 18th century estates under Donegan Landscaping, one of the comments that was made to me was that I was too young to be doing a garden that old. And the list tends to go on, and it's something that is not really, maybe I say, left. And in my head, when I'm 60, I will still have the imagination of a 6-year-old Peter, and I hope that that never leaves me. And the day it does is the day I have to consider jacking in horticulture almost entirely. And I wish it was slightly different. But Cathy, let me step a little bit sideways, because a gentleman who I and you both know, Robbie Blackhall Miles, wrote an article in the Guardian newspaper, which I guess sparked my imagination and made me stand up a little bit. He almost put the gauntlet up on the table and said, do you want to rise to the occasion? Do you want to talk to me a little bit about that article?
Yeah, I was really interested to read what Robbie wrote, because he's somebody I know quite well, and he's chairman of a plant society himself. But I think he possibly was sort of playing devil's advocate and got quite a lot of response with people saying that actually, although some societies have closed, certainly not all of them have, and a lot are flourishing. The ones that close, generally it's because they can't get enough people to come in and take on the roles of chairman or treasurer or to organise speaker programmes, etc. And they rely on a small number of very loyal members. But I think we have to remember that society changes. And these days, women have full-time jobs as well. I know some people are shocked by this idea, but they also have their family commitments. So they don't have time to get so involved in community activities as they used to. And often when they retire, they find that they've got caring duties for their grandchildren as well, because their daughters and daughters-in-law are out at work. And so they haven't got this free time that they used to have and would fill with being on committees and the like. And the other thing is that a lot of younger people don't have gardens anymore. Although, I mean, they start with getting a garden much later in life, so they may well be in their 30s, and perhaps that actually explains a change, which is that all of a sudden houseplants are suddenly back in fashion. You talked about fashion and the fashion in plants, and that is something that is changing. But Robbie, I think. It was a bit tongue-in-cheek, because his society is going from strength to strength. It's very tiny compared with ours, but it's possibly a different model, and that's the sort of thing that we need to be looking at, that a lot of our society is based on local groups with programs of lectures and garden visits and all the sorts of things that I love to do. But maybe people don't have so much time to go along to a talk and to make a commitment to go to a talk in a month's time and that sort of thing. And we need to be looking at different ways of attracting people. So understanding what they want, and rather than just always giving them what we've always done.
Well, let me put another thing to you then, Cathy, because on Twitter, that's @Sodshow on Twitter, I put out a note before Christmas saying, a serious question, in brackets, call it research, but why does the UK have so many hort societies, the Herb Society, for example, and how important are they? Thank you. You have seen most of the responses that I've got in on that. Some of them, I would have to say, quite passionate indeed.
They certainly are passionate. There are lots of people who, I think, for instance, Lou Nichols saying that people who are obsessive about plants realise that they bore their non-gardening friends with their obsessive need to talk about plants, and so they group together with other obsessed people, and that's the nucleus of a club, a society, etc. It's people who want to get together, and a lot of people. It's not just the learning about plants, and there is a social side to it. I've made some fantastic friends through meeting them at HPF meetings and then walking around gardens with them. And suddenly you're saying, oh, I haven't got that. Oh, I'll let you have a cutting. And you've got a friend, and a friend for that you'll remember every time you look in your garden at that plant. So there are reasons for these societies. It would be such a shame if they all disappeared. I think there's no real sign that they're going to disappear. They go up and down, and they're on the up again, I think.
Yeah, and I should add, there's a note in there from
Sophie Leithart, yes.
Yeah, and she has a lovely one where she says that she's a member of the British Irish Society, and they're celebrating 100 years of age in 2022. The history of the society is amazing. So essentially, this is a bad analogy, but you'll get what I'm saying. Whether it's the darts pub team, whether it's the Arsenal fan club, whether it's being a follower of a podcast, be that Arsenal or be that of horticulture like the Sod Show, there is is a camaraderie there where there's a like-mindedness, number one. But in your case, instead of listening online, you get to hook up together as friends. Give me the benefits, if you can, Cathy. I don't mean one of those lists that you might put on a website, but what's it like to be a member of a hardy plant society?
Okay, well, I have been a member for about 30 years, which is quite scary, really. And I think one of the things that I really benefited from was I had a new garden at the time, and I just didn't know where to start. And I went along to an HPS meeting, met people who lived in the same area, who gardened in the same conditions, and they had this wonderful plant sale table full of plants that they had grown. So I was able to talk to them about what the conditions were needed, and actually sort of I've still got plants in my garden, several gardens on, where I've taken them with me that came from those original plant sales. But the other thing that we're sort of excited about at this time of year is a seed distribution. Our members collect seed from plants in their gardens. They send them all in, and they're sorted and listed and packed up, all by volunteers. So it's all our members getting together to do it. And then the list is published, and we can order the seeds that we would like. And they arrive in January in the sort of cold grey time of year, and you have these lovely little packets of joy, and you don't know what's going to come out. You hope you know what's going to come out, but with seeds, the first little sort of green shoot is so exciting. And we have this year in the list, there are 2,061 different seeds available, which have all come from members. So it's such a great resource, and some of our members don't live in the UK, they live in other parts of the world, and they're members of the society to take part in the seed exchange, because they're seeds that they can't get elsewhere, they're not always in cultivation or available. So that's one of the exciting things. The other thing I think I mentioned was the talks that we have, and the local groups. You can join a local group, and we also have national events where we have great speakers. You go along and listen to sometimes household names, sometimes local people. And over the last year, I know you've spoken on the subshow to Paul Harvey Brooks. He has been to talk to us and is coming again. Dan Hinckley is coming over from the US next year to talk about making Heronswood, this really fascinating garden he's got in Washington State in the US. And so the opportunity to be in the same room with some of these fantastic speakers and ask some questions and share that experience with other members.
How much does membership of the Hardy Plant Society cost?
£17 a year. £17 a year.
You wouldn't get into the cinema with a bowl of popcorn for that, Cathy.
It's ridiculously cheap.
That is a wonderful Valentine's present. How to get your good lady out of the house, and you can sit down and watch Arsenal play midweek, fingers crossed, Champions League football next year. Fingers crossed, I say.
No comment.
And thank you for that, Cathy. I appreciate that. But 17 quid is an absolute bargain. Let me put this in context. The Hardy Plants staff's Twitter account. This is an active group of the Hardy Plants Society. They have 120 members, and they note that I have been a Hardy Plants Society member for 20 years and joined to share my love of plants and gardens to learn more about them. Here's the killer bit. If you can't spare the time and or money to take an RHS or Royal Horticultural Society qualification, it's the best way to learn and develop. And plus, if you're starting a new garden, you can essentially build your garden free gratis, I say, just about. Is that a fair way to put that then, Cathy?
I think that's fair. I wouldn't say it's absolutely free, but very, very reasonably. If you go and buy a plant commercially, you're going to be spending quite a lot of money. If you go along to an HPS plant sales, and a lot of them are open to the public, we put on plant sales around the country, which are open to the public to help to raise funds for the local groups. And the plants are such well-grown plants and so cheap, and things that you won't find just in your general garden centre.
Do you do the monthly meetings, Cathy?
Yes, we do. We have meetings during the winter months, and then as soon as it's garden visiting time, we're out there. So generally, during the winter, there's a talk or a demonstration, a workshop, all sorts of different things. The different groups do their own thing. There are 40 groups around the country, right from the Scottish borders down to Cornwall and to Kent, and they all run their own programmes. There are also some special interest groups for people who have a real interest in a particular sort of type of plant. So things like hardy geraniums or plants which like shade or woodland, peonies. And that's one of the good things about hardy plants, is there's always something to look forward to, but they come around.
Give me your youngest member that you're aware of, Cathy.
I don't know anybody who's a member who's aged less than 20. I know we have some student members. That's the other thing. We offer student membership at £10 a year.
Let's put this in a nutshell. If you're expecting to go in and hear Led Zeppelin be 70s, Rolling Stones would be in around about that as well. If you're expecting to go in and, let's say, a little bit of hip-hop, you're probably off the mark. If you're expecting to go in and hear a little bit of the Beatles playing in the background, well, when I garden, you will indeed. When you're hearing these words come from Cathy, where you've got six-year-olds, you've got student members, I think it changes and has changed. Of the 7,500 members, I should add, the thinking that some may have, not based on Robbie's article. Robbie's article raised a question, I should add. It wasn't suggesting that they were in any way negative or they were on a total demise. Sure, there have been some closures, but at the same token, I think it's fair to say that the positives are there, Cathy, and you're thriving, if you might allow me suggest it that way.
Come and give us a try. If you don't like it, you don't have to stay. But I think once you get to know people and see what the benefits are, actually people do stay.
But isn't that a bit like going to your local cricket club, a soccer club or a rugby club? It's across the board. I don't think it's a horticultural thing entirely.
I think you're right. It's a lot of our members are members also of other horticultural societies, because it's not just the Hardy Plant Society. There are loads of different ones out there, and some of us sort of can hardly choose between, and you look at the program for the year and think, how am I going to fit everything in, because I want to go to this and that, and I also do have to do my garden every now and again. It needs a bit of attention. So there's a lot out there to choose from. The Hardy Plant Society it is the biggest one, and that's because we cover such a wide range and there's something for everyone in there.
Well, for those of you listening at home, if you're stuck, if you're on the road, if you're walking, if you're on the tube to Dart, the underground, I think they call it in the United States. We've been here before, people. Send me a note at Sideshow on Twitter, at facebook.com/TheSideshow. Sideshow.com will have all the details, all the show notes, the links, how to get in touch with the Hardy Plant Society. £17, that's all I'm saying. Go and gift one to your mother-in-law who's decided to move in with you. Well, she came for a day, she had mince pies at Christmas time and just hasn't gone home. Buy her membership of the Hardy Plant Society. To your teenage son who has a love of plants, who was that little Peter goofing down the back of the garden, that special child, inverted commas, get one for him as well. I think they should get in on a tenner, wouldn't they?
I think they might. We would have to evaluate that. I'm sure that we can do something.
Well, you just tell him Peter Donegan from The Sideshow sent you and Cathy said it was okay and that gets your junior in for £10 and now they're out of the house and now you've definitely got peace and quiet at home. And you can watch Arsenal lose and you can weep and cry on your own for those 90 minutes, but 90 minutes of peace and quiet for £10 or £17. I'd happily take that. Cathy Rawlinson, chairperson of the Hardy Plant Society. It has been an absolute pleasure and an honour to speak with you this week. I look forward to, fingers crossed, having you back on, and you might just keep me updated on how the Hardy Plant Society does for 2018.
Thank you so much for having me on with you, and I really enjoyed it, and I will certainly keep you up to date.
Thank you so much, Cathy. For you listening at home, like I said, you know all the details at Sideshow on Twitter, facebook.com/thesideshow, thesideshow.com. Have a great weekend in the great outdoors. Take my advice, go join the now HPS. That's how you now know them. And do let me know if you are joining. Let me know how you get on it. In the meantime, have a great weekend in the great outdoors. Enjoy. Thanks for listening. Take care. God bless. Bye-bye.